It's the season for nonviolence, and it may seem a bit ironic that it is the season for nonviolence while we're witnessing an unprovoked and cruel war. And yet, in the midst of such aggression, is exactly when the principles and the practice of nonviolence are needed most. And so, not so untimely, right? That we are working these principles and practices together, that we come together to remind one another of the ideals, the visions, the permissions, the allowances, the space that we can make together for peace. It's no small task. It seems, in a way, it's no small task, and in another way, it seems like a lot of times we think it has to be more complicated, you know, because we have that sort of work ethic, maybe the Puritan work ethic, that we still live under, especially in the Western world, where, you know, it's only through blood, sweat, and tears that you, you know, achieve these things. And while there may be blood, sweat, and tears, do not underestimate the power of your practices, the power of prayer and meditation, the power of visioning, the power of shifting our own consciousness, the inner work that we do to make peace in the world. The more I'm on this journey, the more I study and do my best to work these principles, the more I feel like this is it. This is what changes the tide. This is what brings peace. This is what allows everyone on the planet to remember the truth of who we are, why we're here, how we can help one another. Without our practices and principles, what is there to grab onto that is true, undeniable, everlasting, permanent kind of truth? So, you know, what doesn't serve us doesn't serve the world, and so this can be a time of letting go, of releasing, of contributing to peace by letting go personally what isn't serving us, because it's all connected, isn't it? Here, especially in this place of safety that we are in right now, or at least relative safety for most of us, there is a sense that here it is where we can make quite a difference, because we have the freedom and the privilege to be able to do the inner work that we can send out to wherever we wish to send it out, whether it be Ukraine, Russia, or all around the world, down the block, in our homes. So this Wednesday also began the season of Lent, which is a time of release, a time of fasting and prayer, 40 days, right? We talk about 40. It comes up a lot in the Hebrew numerology, and biblically it means as long as it takes. And so it's that fasting and prayer for as long as it takes. And what does that might look like for you? Well, it might be that you choose to fast from food on certain days or throughout the season. Or it might be that you give something up, right? That was kind of a common thing, I know, growing up, that we would give up drinking alcohol. Or, well, not growing up, giving up drinking alcohol. Not eating sugar, maybe, was more like it, you know, but whatever whatever it may be. My mom's here, so she can explain later. But whatever it may be that we say, you know, this isn't really serving me, this habit, this thing, this physical substance, whatever it may be, that's all good. That's all good to do that work. It's all good, you know. And I've, at times when I fasted from food, I found that, you know, that unblocking of just getting the food out of the way allows a clearer vision for us. You know, I know when we've visited with our friend Imam Fatih Verdes, who's talked about Ramadan and the power of fasting during Ramadan and what that does for us, a clarity of thought, clarity of feeling and seeing and accessing the spirit within us. So there are many ways to fast, but traditionally in New Thought, in Unity, the way that we talk about Lent and this season of fasting is fasting from negativity, fasting from habits of mind that don't serve us, fasting from emotional habits that don't serve us, especially. So it's those ideas, when we go into that deeper level of fasting from limitation, fasting from thoughts of lack, fasting from judgment, fasting from harshness, fasting from, you know, whatever, you name it, whatever it may be, it takes us to that deeper level of weeding out what it is that blocks the way to the truth and allowing then that gift to be shared more fully with the world. Weeding out whatever it is that stands in the way to peace or harmony or love, connection, all the things that I think we speak to and we affirm. So during Lent, we could give up the idea of that we have to go it alone, you know, and see the power instead of connection, of truth, of oneness, of community, and how important that is. So as we give something up, it clears the way for us to see that truth. We could give up limitation, and as we do so, then it opens up the possibilities of the things that we could manifest and co-create, the dreams that we hold that maybe will get rekindled by doing so. We could give up on giving up on humanity. Wouldn't it be nice if we did that? Because I know we all have had that thought at one time or another. And instead, we can remember the overwhelming numbers of human beings who have overflowing kindness and compassion in their hearts. I'm always reminded again and again, especially when big things happen, and I know we probably all see this, of the goodness of humanity, of the kindness of humanity, of the caring that is in us, that we show again and again as we rally, as our hearts break, as we grieve, as we come together. All of that is a demonstration of a recognition of our unbreakable connection and our caring hearts. In the foreword to Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore's Keep a True Lent, Georgina Tree West says this: "One of the most valuable ways of observing the Lenten season is to fast from the belief that men or nations can stand in the way of God's goodwill for humanity." That's timely, isn't it? And so if we can fast from the idea that one man can stand in the way of peace, because I know a lot of us have gone there, right? Or that we could fast from the idea that even one nation or one group of people can stand in the way. Nothing can stand in the way of God's will for the goodness for all humanity. Nothing. No one. And so if we can shift into that thinking and we can recognize that transformation can happen for anyone. So in other words, let's stop giving our power away to people when they are behaving badly and wringing our hands about how helpless and hopeless we feel and maybe even wishing ill upon others. And instead, let's go to that place of truth and recognizing that these are temporary situations, temporary moments when people have forgotten who they are. And unfortunately, sometimes that happens when somebody has worldly power. And so that is most affecting, right? Because the negative effects are profound. We all feel that. We all see that. We all know that. But let's not give our power away to that, because that's not the truth. That's somebody who's lost their way. And we can change that process through the power of our thinking, our prayers, our fasting, our coming together, our connection, and our remembering who we are and why we've come. Jesus said, "For this I have come, and for this I was born, to testify to the truth." And so what is it that you would proclaim? "For this I have come, for this I was born, to testify to love, peace, clear communication, music, beauty." I was chatting with David between services. I hope you don't mind me sharing. Okay, good. I just got permission. He made this beautiful painting for us. Yeah. It's called Rainbow Mountain. And it goes along with Follow the Yellow Brick Road. And David was telling me that I figured out what I can do during this time is contribute more beauty to the world. And so it's just knowing what our gifts are, knowing what we are willing to give, knowing that that makes a difference, that having beauty in the world that inspires us, that brings color into our lives, that, you know, as I was sitting here at the first service and out of my periphery, I could see that painting. It's like it completed the beautiful set of color and art that is in this room now. There felt like it was the completion piece. And the completion piece is called Rainbow Mountain. I mean, come on, we are headed to good things, right? We are in good things right now, even when it doesn't look like that. So no one and nothing can stand in the way of God's will, of the goodness for humanity. And that is a reminder that a bigger picture is always in place. We can't always, we have trouble sometimes going from the realm of the conscious, the physical, this realm, right, to lifting ourselves up to that higher place, that super consciousness that can see through the density of this world and to pull forth the truth, that can see through the persona of any individual, especially when they're bothering you, to the truth of who they are. This divine being that stands before me. One of the most powerful things we can do during this time is to pray for Putin. Pray for Putin. Pray for change of mind. Pray for change of heart. Pray for the divine spark to awaken. Pray for somebody who is just as much a child of God as the rest of us and far more lost in this moment in the darkness. Pray for the light to touch him. Pray for the light within him to guide the way. That is the way that we work the principles. Because it isn't just for one, it's for all. And it isn't just for those who are behaving the way that we want them to behave. It's for everyone when they're behaving badly as well as when they're behaving well. That's the power of this work. So as we combine these two seasons, the season for nonviolence and the season of Lent, one of the things that we can fast for that can be the most powerful thing to fast from right now is aggression. The Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says, every day we think about aggression in the world and we ask ourselves, am I going to add to the aggression? At the moment when things get edgy, we can just ask ourselves, am I going to practice peace or am I going to war? What if we carried that question with us all the time, right? Because it's not just peace and war in the extremes that we're living in, peace and war in the world. It's the ways that we are at peace or at war with ourselves. It's the ways that we are at peace or at war with our own bodies. It's the way that we are at peace or war with our own minds, with our own hearts, with our own relationships, with our own places of service and ways of serving. And so it's asking ourselves again and again, where am I? Am I in a state of aggression? And if I fasted from that aggression, if I said no to that aggression, then what would it look like to be in the flow of peace and harmony and love? Well, we don't know until we do it, right? We don't know until we fast from it. So if war and violence is truly something we don't want in our world, then we have to give up the war and the aggression within ourselves. And what does that look like? You know, it might look like times when you're, you know, wishing ill on others, right? Anybody maybe has, you don't have to raise your hand, but... Maybe you've wished ill on someone you know well, or maybe you've wished ill on Putin or someone else who's been in political leadership and you've been upset by, and that there is that sense of feeling perhaps a bit little rageful or hopeless or helpless. And so then we stop ourselves in the moments of those ideas that we are putting out into the world, or those thoughts or those words that are aggressive, that are violent, that are about death, that are about smiting somebody from the planet and thinking that's somehow going to solve our problems. And if instead we stop ourselves in that moment and say, how is this thought, these words, contributing to the consciousness of peace? It's not. It's simply not. We can make no argument that that kind of vengeful thinking, that kind of aggressive thinking, that kind of violent thinking is contributing to the consciousness of peace on the planet. But we can notice stop ourselves and shift, and instead pray for those people. Jesus said it's easy to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's the power. He said it's easy to love the ones who love you. I think I said that wrong. It's not easy to love your enemies. It's easy to love the ones who love you back. But the work is in loving the so-called enemy, or loving the one who is under your skin. Let's put it that way. So, we all know the saying, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, right? So maybe just remembering sometimes when some of this pithy conventional wisdom helps shake us out of those ways of thinking and being. And noticing, too, when we get in those kinds of conversations, right? So two minds that are kind of uniting around aggression and violence and that kind of thing can really amplify that. And so then there is two or more gathered, right? And that's the energy we're put. That's the prayer we're praying. That's the prayer we're praying. So shift the prayer. Shift the words. Shift the thinking. Shift the way we're connecting. Talk about what we're for, not what we're against. Think about what we're for, not what we're against. It's lazy for us to think about what we're against. But it's responsible, spiritually responsible, to think about what we're for what we're for, to work hard in our minds and our bodies and our hearts and our relationships and our world to contribute to peace and to harmony. And you know what? It actually isn't hard. Because that's one of the great mysteries of spirit, is that we think it has to be really hard. But when we open ourselves up, when we say, okay, God, I'm in, you know, lead the way, show me what I'm supposed to do today. And just try it one day. Just, I'm going to completely surrender to spirit and see where I go and who I meet and what I do and what I say. And every time I think I'm, you know, in control and I'm back into my agenda, I'm going to let go again and see what happens. Watch how you will be delighted and surprised with all kinds of new and powerful and inspiring experiences, or just that kind of quiet joy that comes sometimes with that kind of release and surrender. So that can be kind of a fasting from control. How about we all fast from control? Yeah, huh? It sounds good, doesn't it? So as we fast from these kind of things, these negativities, these aggressions, whatever it may be that we're fasting from, we free up energy. We shift our energy to what is spiritually life-giving. That's power of life is activated then for us, and that divine flow is activated for us. And we get to live in that place of joy, that place of abundance. So instead of whatever it is that fills our minds that blocks our good, we can feast instead. We can feast on the visions that we wish for. We can feast on the kinds of things that we want to experience. So, for example, as we activate the power of imagination, this, I like to call it the first eye. I know it's traditionally called the third eye, but it reminds me to go here first, to go to that place of spiritual seeing. And from that place of spiritual seeing, then to cast the vision that we hold. We might in that place see leaders making an about face. We might in that place, and I imagine this vision, to have, you know, there's a soldier, he's holding a gun or she's holding a gun, a Russian soldier right now. And all of a sudden there's this moment of, this doesn't feel right. Something doesn't feel right here. There's an activation of their own power of wisdom, their own courage to follow their own intuition and to break ranks with the idea of soldier and to say, I'm laying down my weapon. Right. Yeah. And if we imagine, if we take that vision wider and we imagine it soldier by soldier by soldier, pretty soon there are no troops to fight, right? Because the great awakening is occurring. The moment of following that feeling inside of it, that knowing inside of us, that God's good will for humanity that comes through us allows us to act accordingly and to align with truth and to tip the scales to peace and harmony. And so it's by us holding these kinds of visions that we can make a difference. We can see all people safe and free. We can see Ukrainian children safe and free. We can see Russian people releasing the guilt that may be blocking them, fasting from the guilt. Or we can see the truth penetrating through false propaganda, and so that the real truth can be seen and known and felt, right? And that stuff that is temporary that we create out of our just getting lost in the darkness, when it's penetrated by truth, by divine light and love, it falls away. And then there's that sense of, this doesn't feel right. I think I have an idea of what might be true, and it is that those people across the border have just as much a right to their space and their life and their culture and their freedom and their education and their love and so on. And that can be, that same idea can be replicated in our personal lives, our interpersonal lives, our intrapersonal lives, in whatever ways that we might be considering and thinking and holding these things. And it's not just in our vision, it's also in our hearing, our clair audience, which is just clear hearing, clairvoyance, clear seeing, right? So our clair audience is also a spiritual ability that we can turn on, an ability to hear what it is that we imagine in our vision to be what it is that we want, right? I don't have to stretch it too far, because every day of the week here, Saunder Creek Academy children are running about the lawn with squeals of laughter and joy. And so I can just tune into that audio track. And so if we can hear the sounds of children running free and playing and laughing and having joy, and every time we hear or feel our hearts break over some tragedy, I'm not, in this, please be clear, it's not about band-aiding over the rawness and the sadness that breaks our hearts open. Not at all. Yeah, we feel that, we see that, we recognize the pain, we honor the pain. But then what? We don't want to get lost in it, right? Then we step into the light. Then we hear what it is that we imagine to bring ourselves up to that other plane of hearing and seeing, that wider plane, that wider space of knowing, of truth. That penetrates the hearts and minds of all life and awakens us. We begin to be able to live once and for all without war. Once and for all, in the kind of peace and harmony that we all hold. So in our personal and interpersonal lives, we can stop ourselves and fast from judging. We can fast from thinking harshly about another. We can fast from gossip. We can fast from talking behind people's backs, because none of that stuff contributes to the kind of things that we want to live in, to the kind of world that we want to experience, to the kind of things that we personally want to experience in our relationships. And we can, you know, the world needs upliftment, right? Not the weighing down of these kinds of energies and behaviors. And so when we find ourselves going down those paths, we just stop ourselves. When we notice, it's bringing awareness, right? When we notice, we can say, all right, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fast from that. I'm going to fast from that habit I have of talking to A about B or B about C or whatever it is, that kind of stuff, right? That kind of little backbitey stuff. How does that serve? It does not serve. It does not serve. I mean, it might be worth asking, how does it serve? So that the behavior, you can understand what benefit is being perceived in the behavior. So then you can say, ah, okay. Brené Brown would talk about making false connections. You know, I'm going to talk to my friend over here about this person, and we're going to make a false connection with each other. That's not an authentic connection. And so if we say, what I want is connection, what my need is connection, then I'm going to fast from that way of getting it, and I'm going to come to the prayer vigil at Unity on Thursday and connect with some people about sending peace. Or I'm going to, you know, come to a class, or, you know, whatever it is that feeds your soul. I'm going to sit in meditation. I'm going to go take a walk in nature. Finally, we can feast on silence, right? Feasting on silence gives us this kind of bringing ourselves back to center, to clarity. Georgina Tree West goes on in the foreword to explain that when we withdraw our attention interest and support from the false and the unworthy. This is true fasting. And when we give our attention, interest, and support to the enduring good, we are feasting on the things of the Spirit, and this is true prayer. So we're fasting, and then we're feasting. We're fasting, and then we're feasting all through this season. Fasting and prayer are actions in and of themselves that we contribute to the world, and they are preparatory to actions, right? So as we pray and meditate and fast from these kinds of negativities that we've just been speaking about and open up the way, then the way is open and clear for us to receive our guidance as to what is ours to do. How is it that we want to contribute? Maybe we want to write a check, or maybe we want to get involved politically in something, or maybe there's some other thing that is knocking on the door of our hearts to create something beautiful. Whatever it may be that is yours to do, it will come clearer through these practices. And so beyond us then, we recognize that there is a bigger picture and there is a bigger history that we are a part of, right, as humanity. In the history of humanity, there have been many, many plagues. There have been many, many wars. And what happens each of these times is there is a breakthrough of some kind. There's a breakthrough to wholeness. There's a breakthrough to the restoration of peace. There's a breakthrough. There's some kind of awakening that occurs. And there is no exception going on here. And so to recognize that, to hold to that, to know that, it will help us be inspired to do whatever is ours to do, to lift up our voices in the preservation of democracy, to do whatever it is that is ours to do, or to quietly pray, or all of the above. In the year 2000, Nkosi Johnson was one of these voices in the midst of tragedy, one of these wise and inspiring voices. He was 12 years old, and he's one of the longest was one of the longest surviving children with AIDS in South Africa at the time. Before he died, Nkosi became a beacon of hope and light and inspiration for all people. He was speaking in this picture. He was speaking at the International AIDS Conference in Durban. I mean, just look at that face. Just pure innocence. And this is what he said. Do all you can with what you have, in the time you have, in the place you are. That's it. That's it. You don't have to board a plane. Just right here. Do all you can with what you have, in the time you have, in the place you are. So do not underestimate the power of your inner work to make peace. And let's not underestimate our power to come together as community and make a difference and overturn and have enough of us to tip the scales toward harmony and peace and restoration of wholeness. Because as we gather together as community, it is a crucial, right? It's crucial to come together as community, right? I see you, Mario, raising the roof over there. Yeah. As we gather together, as we band together through the World Wide Web of spiritual energy, we are reminded that no one is alone. No one is alone, much as they may feel it. That we don't have to suffer alone, that we don't have to shoulder our burdens alone or struggle to survive alone. Because we are one family, we are indivisible in truth and forever connected to the one Spirit of life. And it's that feasting on those ideas that allows more and more of it to spread, and it becomes then common knowledge. It's not up here anymore in the superconscious mind. It's right here in the conscious mind. That's our work, to bring it in, right? From here out or from up above in, you know, whatever direction works. As long as it comes into the conscious mind, right? As long as it comes into the conventional wisdom of humanity. As long as we begin to go, oh, wow, can you believe it? Years ago, people used to war against each other. They used to pick up weapons. Can you believe it? They created this thing called nuclear, you know, war, and they were going to blow each other up. wow, have we come a long way. Wow, have we evolved. What peaceful, harmonious societies we have built. What peaceful, harmonious people we are. You know, back then, they used to discriminate against people because of the color of their skin. How crazy is that? Who would have ever fathomed that idea? They used to shoot each other. How bizarre. How bizarre was that time? How much we have evolved. That will be our future, our near future. Let's hold that together. Let's know that together. Let's hear it. Valerie Kaur is the author of See No Stranger. We used some of her work last year for the season for nonviolence. And she writes this to the children of Ukraine. When I told my son about you, he wanted to send you the prayer my grandfather sang as a soldier in World War II. When German air raids came at night, he slept on the ground and imagined this sick prayer, S-I-K-H, sick faith, sick prayer as his shield. So tonight, we closed our eyes and we sang his prayer for you, the children of Ukraine. We imagined a shimmering gold shield around your homes and your families and you. And the prayer translates to, the hot winds cannot touch you. You are shielded by love. The hot winds cannot touch you. You are shielded by love. What if we made a shield of love of our prayers together? Let's do it right now. I invite you to close your eyes. And let's imagine now the people of Ukraine, not just the children, but all the people, shielded from those hot winds, shielded in divine love. Let's know the truth that we bring forth, that God's will for humanity is goodness, and we are not separated from God's will, but it is the will of our own hearts. And so as we bring that forth, we imagine the people of Ukraine now in comfort, in safety, in freedom, in peace, and the people of Russia having clarity and peace and grace. The shield of love is so potent, we see lost Russian leaders finding their way home to their hearts and touching that divine spark and turning around actions for good. We see conflicted Russian soldiers laying down their arms and surrendering to the fiercest power of all, divine love. Let's just keep holding that vision and knowing that vision and knowing that truth. You don't have to press anything except silence. Done. All we need is silence. All we need to press was silence. So let's go back into our prayer for a moment and hold that silence and hold that vision and know that nothing happens by mistake. The alarm that sounds is an awakening alarm that says there is alarm going on our planet, and here we are in the midst of prayer. Here we are holding, responding to, fasting from alarm and turning to truth, shielding people of the world in love. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to share our gifts, our teachings, our principles, our truth, humanity's truth, humanity's principles, humanity's practices, the divine practices and principles to make a world of peace together. So the truth will indeed set us free. So let's hold fast to the truth, and let's hold fast to our spiritual practices and practice, practice, practice. During this Lenten season, this season of nonviolence, let's fast, especially from aggression. Let's feast on the truth of affirmative prayer and silence. And let's do all we can together to co-create peace. Let's speak it together. I invite you to say this affirmation. We co-create peace together as we fast from aggression, feast on prayer, and do all we can. And so it is.